Hey everybody, welcome back to the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm Hero TJ, and I'm here with my best good buddy, who gave me one of the most awesome wake-up calls that I've had in quite some time today, Amiibo Jason.
Okay, what was the wake-up call?
Now, I know our time zones are a little bit different, because for you it's nighttime, but the first message that I got of the day was something like, Byleth is out!
And oh, yeah.
So I jumped out of bed with a smile on my face and a fire under my backside, and I booted up that game right away. And so I had a chance to play through a lot of it already. I imagine you did too. I think Nintendo Wire already uploaded the classic mode.
Yeah, classic mode's up. Full disclosure, that was not me playing. That was our UK editor, Mr. Tom Brown. It's 2 a.m. in the UK right now. So that man is dedicated to the point where he got an entire classic mode playthrough done already. So yeah, that wasn't me. I did download it, but I have not played it whatsoever.
Okay. I played through pretty much everything. Okay. I had a little bit of window before we started recording and when you told me it was up. And so I did the classic mode. I downloaded the new Fighter's Pass. So I got my sweet, cool ancient armor Link gear.
I totally forgot that was available right now.
Yep, right now.
What is it, and 30 bucks?
30 bucks, yeah.
30 bucks, okay.
I also got every Mii Fighter costume that's possible to get. I won't use most of them, but I got them because it's so important for me, for Nintendo to understand that as long as they keep making them, I'm going to keep buying them. And at 75 cents a pop, it's totally worth the investment for me. The coolest thing about the Mii Fighters this time around is Cuphead, obviously. A lot of people were more hype about Cuphead than they were about Byleth. But, you know, that's the way that it goes when you release a Fire Emblem. You know what? Can I make a Nintendo confession?
Go for it.
As a YouTube content creator, I take disliking videos very seriously. Because I don't want to just flippantly spit on somebody's creation. And I've probably left maybe 2 dislikes in the entire 13 years I've been on YouTube. I did have to drop one on a Nintendo video.
And which one was it? Was it the Byleth one?
Yeah, on the Byleth release.
And interesting.
And here's my reason. Because when Nintendo, this is a different situation than Nintendo adding a character into the base roster. When you add a character into the base roster, it's packed into the price of the base game.
Yeah.
But Byleth was a blind purchase. And I think it's important that Nintendo understands that it is unacceptable to lure people in with Joker and Banjo and then drop an 8th Fire Emblem character. And I think it's also important to send the message that of these next fighters, however many more fighters there are going to be in Smash, we know that there's at least 6, and it's not unforeseeable that they could potentially even do more if this thing does gangbusters. I think it is important for the community to send the message that we don't want any more Fire Emblem fighters in Smash Brothers. Thank you.
I mean, we're at a point right now where the next 6 fighters are already determined. So nothing we can do at this point will shift that. That being said, too, and we've discussed this before in length on the last podcast, people don't seem to understand, I think, the impact of Fire Emblem outside of the U.S. I think a lot of those were U.S. dislikes. I'm curious, did we see the dislike ratio in Japan?
I did.
For the same video?
I don't know if you follow the ex-pro player Zero.
I don't.
I watched a video that he did. He's been doing a lot of really solid coverage on this whole Byleth thing. His videos have been hilarious. He takes a very rational approach to it, so he kind of positions himself as the impartial mediator, and he did a little bit of an investigation into how, if Japan's reaction is as negative as it is in the West.
Sure.
And the response that he got was almost consistently across the board. When he would pose the question, hey, are people as bothered in Japan by Byleth as they are in the States? And people would respond with, in Japan, you care more about what people think about your opinion, so you choose your words more carefully. And that was the reoccurring theme. That was the response. So if that is the response, then that's tantamount to no, people aren't that excited, because otherwise they would have said, yeah, we're super excited. Although there's definitely more excitement over Byleth in Japan than there is in the States. But so, it's still regarded as widely negative.
We're looking at 23,000 likes on the Japanese video and 4,800 dislikes. So nowhere near as bad as it was here.
And there's a good chance they
turned comments
American
off too.
Yeah.
They turned comments off on that one. Did they turn comments off on the US one too?
I didn't check. I don't know.
Man, oh man. We live in a weird time. We really do.
That is the risk that you run though when you sell people a product without disclosing any of the details about that product.
I figure we signed up for this though. Like, so let me ask you this. If you had to buy these individually for the same price and Byleth dropped, you still would have bought it.
Still would have bought it.
Would you have bought it in protest?
Nope. I would have bought it because I want the complete experience. Even the characters that I don't like and that I'll never play, I like to still have in there to beat up.
My thought process is this. Nintendo couldn't care less about the dislike ratio on videos. If Fighter Pass 2 pre-orders are garbage in comparison to Fighter Pass 1, that's the only thing that's going to change their mind about public opinion on pretty much anything. My guess is we're going to get numbers on Fighter Pass 2 sales pretty quick. I'm guessing in the next maybe 30 days. Nintendo's usually pretty good about that. Like saying how many, you know, I think there's some sort of investor meeting that goes on once a quarter. So yeah. I'm guessing we're going to find out then. And I'm going to predict it's going to be gangbusters. It's going to be just absolutely massive sales.
Well, yeah, like I already said, I couldn't have bought it fast enough, even though and you know what? I'm a walking contradiction on this, I understand. Because even last time, I said out of the five fighters, my favorite one is Byleth.
Yeah.
Even though I think Byleth is the worst pick. I think Byleth is the worst inclusion, but of the ones that personally resonate with me the strongest, it's a character that's loosely tied to a franchise that I like. And out of all of them, we got a ton of great music, but Fire Emblem music is just like top of the list. It goes like Zelda, Fire Emblem.
So maybe, you need to go Zelda, back to that video.
Zelda, Castlevania, Fire Emblem.
You need to go back to that video and take that dislike away.
No, I don't think
you need
think
to make that a like.
I don't think so, because I'm still.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to like it.
I'm conflicted in my heart about this.
I never like or dislike videos very often.
Yeah. I like them all the time.
Unless it's like a content creator I really like. But for corporate videos, I don't waste my time. I just don't. So I'm going to like this just to counteract your dislike. And now the world is back in
it's balanced again.
The perfect uniformity it needed to be.
Yeah, something
I'm not
about
saying
that whole...
I disagree with your dislike. I kind of do. I disagree a little bit. Just a little bit. I understand your predicament with it, though, where you feel like you need to show Nintendo, but I'm gonna counteract it.
And I also get your point about Nintendo not caring, because the only vote, the vote that matters is not a thumbs up or a thumbs down on a YouTube video. The vote that matters is with your dollar. And I gave them like already $40 worth of thumbs up just today between the Mii Fighters and the Fighters Pass 2.
And in what, a couple months, you're going to give them $16 for the Byleth Amiibo, possibly $32 for two Byleth Amiibo.
You are dead on the money. So maybe it's just my way of of reconciling my internal struggle with this, the fact that I know that they've got me hook, line, and sinker.
and this is so your small way to protest
my,
it.
My one tiny little voice inside saying, you know what? That is not okay to release four awesome fighters and then unload a deuce buried at the end of this fighter's pass.
Yeah.
Because we can. Because it's definitely not a character that I think is going to be driving sales. Yeah. I'm sure it'll do well because people like me who don't even care will still buy it.
Yeah. We need to plug, by the way, your new video that just came out today, your predictions. Was it predictions or your hopes?
I did both. So what I did last year before the base game came out was when they were doing the weekly blog updates, I made two prediction videos for the original Fighters Pass. One was who I wanted, and I knew that this was that none of these were going to happen. These were just characters that I thought would be super cool to have in the game and that I was most excited about in that capsule and that moment in time. And then the following week, still before the game released, I made a prediction video of who I thought was most likely, and oddly enough, I did get one right, and that was Byleth.
Yeah.
And then, so the video I just dropped today, actually it's probably going to be yesterday, depending on when you hear this podcast, is the same thing. It's predicting which six characters, in this case, I think are most likely, and also which six characters I am most excited about, which I think are far less likely, obviously, or they would not necessitate two separate lists.
Yeah. So I saw something today. Number one, I did watch your video. I was half watching it, though. I was working at the same time. I don't know if I should be saying that, but whatever. But at the same time, so you had Crash Bandicoot on the list.
Yeah, he was my one character on both lists.
Which makes me very, very happy. I'm thrilled that Crash was on that list. But I saw something today that made me think differently about Crash, and I want your opinion on this.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. Lay it on me.
Okay. Back in the day, I'm going to take all of you folks back to the 90s. And many of you who listen might not have been born in the 90s, but I'm sure some of you remember this. They had a series of Crash Bandicoot commercials where Crash would be in a costume. It was a man in a Crash costume with a human face just in the center with a bullhorn outside of Nintendo headquarters yelling at Mario to come out and fight him, which was great. I loved it. And somebody put on Twitter earlier today that wouldn't it be great if Crash was a Mii fighter with that same head kind of costume where it looks like he's wearing a giant Crash costume. And part of me thought that is the greatest idea ever. Like, we need for this to happen. And as much as I want Crash as a full-fledged character, the idea of having, like, a Crash suit as a Mii fighter really, really piqued my interest. So I want your opinion on that.
All right, my knee-jerk reaction is I'm immediately taken to a different commercial where there's a feud going on between families of which taco shell is superior, the hard shell or the soft shell, and finally a little girl settles the dispute.
Why not both?
Why not both? That's exactly how I feel about this because, man, that Mii fighter costume would be awesome. Yeah. I would love that. I would way rather fight Sonic and Mario as a Mii fighter of Banjo because of that commercial. If you haven't seen that commercial, it is featured in the video that I made that has Crash in it, so you get a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about. And I also want Crash as a character, like a legit introduction. So if I had to pick between the two,
yeah,
I think what I would personally enjoy more would be the Mii fighter costume for all the reasons that you said. But the one that I think I would rather have in the game ultimately would be an actual representation of Crash the character.
For that amiibo, right? You got to get that amiibo.
Well, you could go buy a Skylander if you really want
to. Oh, man, those are so bad, though. The Crash Skylanders, the quality on them are just hot garbage.
And that particular version of the game, they were out of scale with amiibo, right? Like that.
They were slightly bigger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. But I was thinking about that today too. So as much as I do want Crash, I think that would be a happy medium if for some reason Nintendo decides not to include Crash, which would blow my mind if that happened. I know Crash is kind of not doing too much nowadays. I mean, he had the HD remaster of the first three games and then Crash Team Racing, but Crash is not the mascot he used to be. That being said, Crash or another fighter, or Crash or another Fire Emblem character, I'd go Crash 100% of the time.
Who wouldn't? Even a Fire Emblem fan, even Fire Emblem fans are coming out in protest against Byleth. There are a couple other characters though that people have been responding to that video with a lot of like, hey, what about this person? What about this person? And two of them that came up a lot are two characters that I coincidentally happened to play for the first time in this past week. And that is Rayman and Shantae.
Yeah.
So I bought Shantae Half Genie Hero for Switch a long time ago. I haven't really played it, but my daughter's been playing it a lot. And so occasionally she'll pass the controller over to me to help her with some of the more difficult platforming spots. And I think the game is pretty fun. They put a lot of time into it. It's very well thought out. And Shantae as a character is super easy to imagine getting plugged into Smash with all of her various and unsundry moves. However, I don't really think that there's any realistic possibility that an indie character, particularly a Western indie character, is going to find themselves as a playable character. Do you?
I think it's possible. I think Nintendo has been gearing people up for the past 5+ years to fully believe that indie games are full-fledged Nintendo games.
Now, I believe that, but
I mean, with indie directs and their indie showcases, I think Nintendo has a lot of faith with indie game characters as a whole. I would imagine that if an indie character made it in, it would be Cuphead, which sort of made it in. I would say Sans, which, again, sort of made it in. I think Shantae has a shot.
But wouldn't you say that Shantae and Shovel Knight are both way bigger than Sans and Cuphead?
No. I think Sans is... How do I put this? I think Undertale is like a cultural phenomenon, and I don't think Shovel Knight has quite reached that point yet.
But see, I don't know if Undertale is a cultural phenomenon or a cult phenomenon. Like,
I think it's a bit of both. I would be curious to see the sales number for Undertale across all platforms. When it released on PC, I mean, it was everywhere. I mean, I can't imagine that that game has sold less than 10 million copies.
Really? That many?
I have the power of the internet.
Let's see if the internet can reveal the truth of this matter. I did buy Undertale, but I have to confess, it did not grab me.
Yeah.
I understand why it does appeal to people, but I'm definitely not the audience. Number one, I'm not really too into JRPGs to begin with. And, well, it's not really JRPG, it's more like a standard RPG.
But yeah.
What bothers me about it is that what I do love about games is fighting. And that game literally de-incentivizes you from fighting. So I'm like,
ugh. I think it's great. I loved it. It was a fun game. I played through it twice. I played through it without fighting anything for that beautiful ending, which was great. And I played through it killing absolutely everything for a completely different ending. So depending on how you want to play it, I mean, there's a style for you for sure. There's not updated sales copies or sales numbers on this. As of March 2016, so almost 4 years ago, 4 years ago, it was at 1.3 million copies.
And that would be before it released on Switch. I'm not sure how much Switch contributed to that.
I think that was before it released on PlayStation. I think these are PC numbers only. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't say. Man, I'd be super, super curious to find out what the updated numbers are, if they have them.
Well, the game has definitely gained some ground, and it, it definitely has its committed fan base. I don't know of a fan base that I can think of that exists right now that is more hardcore than Undertale. And they get very serious about it. They take the game very personally.
Yeah.
Toby Fox managed to find a way to really connect with players on a level that is personal. So it's not just like they have this really deep-seated connection to the title. And when a game can do that, I think that that's really an exceptional artistic achievement. Just not for me.
Yeah.
Which isn't anything against the game. It just happens to not appeal to what I...
Not every game is for every person.
Right.
And that said, apparently Shovel Knight sold 2 million copies by 2014. So that being said, it sounds like Shovel Knight is definitely up there too.
Gotta be one of the biggest indie games of all time.
I think Shovel Knight was the very first indie trophy, right?
I'm not sure, but Shovel Knight is a...
Yeah, an assist trophy.
An assist trophy. Oh, yeah.
I think he was the first... I think it was the first indie assist trophy, which is, I think, a nice way to say, you know, good job, welcome to Smash. But I think
that's the highest achievable, currently speaking, I think that's the highest achievable status, because Shantae has been around for longer than Shovel Knight. She's arguably as big, but I don't know that she ever gained as much, she never had as high of a high as Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
But she's a big deal.
Does Shantae have a Mii Fighter costume?
She does not, but she does have a spirit.
Okay. I feel like indie games are destined for Mii Fighter costumes, if Sans and Cuphead taught us anything.
Same.
I also think it's funny that the two biggest Mii Fighter costumes that we have in terms of like the actual costume itself looking just like a character have been indie games too, which I think is fascinating. I'd like to see Nintendo branch out into other things too. Specifically, I'd like to see a Geno costume. I've come to the point and the conclusion that Geno is not going to be a fighter. I just feel like it's never going to happen. He is not a big enough character where anybody outside of the base that loves Geno would care, I suppose, unless Square and Nintendo teamed up for a Paper Mario-esque Super Mario RPG sequel with Geno. Right. I feel like it's not going to happen.
Right. Geno literally makes no sense as a character.
As a Mii Fighter costume.
As a Mii Fighter costume, perfect.
To appease the fan. So I feel like at this point, Nintendo has said, we don't care about your opinion on who the next fighter is going to be. This is not the Smash ballot that we had in 2014.
Right.
This I think is a brand new thing, and it's our thing. Message. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like the Mii Fighter costumes can be the fan service that we need.
I think you're right. I think then it's the perfect place for Geno. And what they did with Sans, is really the first time that a Mii Fighter costume could be mistaken for an actual character. Like if we would have seen a leak of that, nobody would have thought this is a Mii Fighter costume. People would have been like, oh, Sans in Smash. And same thing with Cuphead.
Man, because Cuphead looks sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good.
And including the music too, that's awesome. The Undertale music is completely on point. And Cuphead has a lot of sweet tracks too. They didn't put my favorite of the Cuphead tracks in, but I feel like it does kind of represent the general sound of the game.
Have you bested Cuphead, by the way?
I got really close playing it cooperatively with my brother. And that was on Xbox.
Yeah.
And then I did buy it on Switch, and I've been playing it with my daughter, but we do not have the skills. I thought really that I was kind of like holding my own, and my brother and I were kind of doing equal parts. But I'm now starting to feel like maybe he was carrying me a little bit.
The worst of it was that bullet hell stage. I don't know if you got to that point.
Yeah.
There's a stage where you're an airplane, and if you're familiar with like bullet hell type games.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I made it past it, but that was the one where I was up to like 2 or 3 in the morning, like sitting in front of my TV, like a 10-year-old, like on Saturday morning watching cartoons, like getting as close to the pixels as I possibly could get. But that game is so rewarding. I mean, when I finally beat it, it was one of the best feelings of all time. So I highly recommend it, TJ. If you have the opportunity to go back and just try to beat it. Because once you get the patterns down, like the final boss, it took me like a solid 4 or 5 hours to beat. But once I figured out what I was doing, I could go back right now and just do it.
I think the reason why I haven't is it's not rewarding enough since I've seen most of it. And I got so close to the end of the game and I put so many hours and I had to memorize those sequences for so long. And now I'm so out of practice that it kind of feels like a rehash of what I've already done. So
I feel you.
It's too much of a grind to get back to where I was when there's such a big backlog.
We got DLC coming out for it soon, so
really
maybe at that point. Yeah, I mean, it was supposed. I don't think it was supposed to be out yet, but they've been teasing the DLC now for I think 2 years, which I feel like is a pretty long period of time. But I mean, the entire process to make Cuphead is insane. I mean, hand drawn animation, full orchestra. I mean, the folks that made that game. What's the company that made that game? Do you remember?
I can't remember off the top of my head. But it is one of the most gorgeous looking games that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's that good. I love how this has turned into Go Play Cuphead, this podcast. But yeah, it's definitely that good.
And another game that has kind of been on my backlog for a while that I never played ever is any version of Rayman. Have you played Rayman?
Yes. So, fun fact about Rayman, back in the day, I had an Atari Jaguar, which if you've never heard of this system, it came out, I think, right around the time the Super Nintendo was out. It was the world's first 64-bit home console. It sucked. It was a terrible, terrible console. But for the time, the games were insane. Just absolutely gorgeous games. But most people had no idea how to develop games for this system. So for the most part, the games that did come out were games that relied heavily on 2D sprites. So Rayman by Ubisoft was one of those games. So I played the original Rayman on Jaguar Atari back in 1995 or 1994, something like that. And I loved it. It was such a fun game. I never played the 3D platformer Rayman games, but I did go back. When they first came out, I played the updated Rayman, Rayman Legends, which had a very kind of similar style to Cuphead, where it was like this hand-drawn, gorgeous animation. So I've played those and the original. So that's it.
I have Rayman Legends for Switch, and I played through maybe the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 stages, and sure, was really having fun with how he controlled. I was instantly in it. I instantly got it. I understood what the game was about, and it was super fun. And then I accidentally figured out, because we had 2 Joy-Cons powered on randomly one of the times, that I could put in another person. And so I had one of my kids jump in, and because my kids were kind of both wanting to be in at the same time, they were both trying to activate their controllers. And then I discovered you could put 2 more people in at the same time. I was like, oh my goodness, I'll bet that I can put a 4th in. You could have 4 people platforming all at the same time, kind of like Super Mario Brothers, except you don't interfere with each other. Well, you can. You can occupy the same space on the map without bothering each other, but you can also punch and slap people silly. So needless to say, this resulted in countless hours of family fun. Of course, if I'm trying to complete the game, the kids can be decidedly a nuisance if they feel like it. But it is a blast. And they even have this little soccer game in there where it's 2v2 or 1v1, depending on how you want to do it. And just kicking the soccer ball on this tiny little field back and forth is just unbelievably satisfying and super fun. It's very simple, but you get to play these awesome characters. And you don't just play as Rayman in this game. You have, it looks like, 20 different skins. My daughter plays
it's a lot.
Some axe-wielding woman. It's awesome. I really can't believe it's been this long since I've played the game. People have recommended it for a long time, and I finally just got into it. I think I'm hooked. That's kind of the game I'm playing now.
It is a fun, addicting little platformer. Back in the day, I think it could go toe-to-toe with Mario. Very, very different styles, for sure. But I had, I think, just as much fun playing that game as I did playing some of the other Mario games on the NES and Super NES. So I think Rayman is one of those fighters that very deservingly could get a spot in Smash Ultimate.
Now, if you did have to pick a Ubisoft rep that you thought was like best identified that company, kind of like what Pac-Man is or what Sonic is, who would you pick? Is Rayman that guy?
If I was sitting on the board at Ubisoft and I were tasked with picking somebody, I would say somebody from Assassin's Creed. I hate that. Personally, I would not pick somebody from Assassin's Creed, but I think from a superstar sales figure number, that would probably be the best place to go.
And interesting that we did just get two Ubisoft costumes, one being a rabid hood, and then also Altair, I'm not exactly sure how you say that, from Assassin's Creed, as you said, which is a cool-looking Mii Fighter costume, but it's not exactly the same thing as putting an Assassin's Creed character into the game. If there was going to be a Ubisoft rep, I would think that they would have held off those Mii Fighter costumes to coincide with the release of that character, wouldn't you?
I'd think so. But who knows? I mean, it's getting more and more difficult to try to predict what Nintendo wants to do.
Totally.
Or what Nintendo is doing.
Because it does defy reason.
I have no clue anymore. I do think Rayman would be a great choice, though. I love Rayman. I think he's... But I'm coming at this from a classic video gamer.
Yeah.
Most of the picks that I want are from games from my childhood.
Yeah.
And I have to start realizing at some point soon that I might not be the primary demographic anymore. And as my daughter's getting older, she's enjoying these games almost as much as I am. And she has no idea who Rayman is. She has no idea who Geno is or Crash Bandicoot. Well, she does know Crash. We played through a couple Crash games. But I think I'm coming at this from my own personal perspective. It's one of the reasons why I was so excited for Banjo, where I was just psyched beyond belief for Banjo. And I can imagine a whole subset of gamers going, who the hell is Banjo? Absolutely. Why would I want this character?
Absolutely.
So I just need to come to terms that there are so many classic characters in Smash already that if we don't get any more, I'm not going to be too upset. But I could totally see some, like I think I've mentioned before, Minecraft Steve. Is that his name?
Right.
Making it in.
And I was the big naysayer on that. I think going back to the Mii Fighter costumes, I think Minecraft Steve would be the perfect sword fighter skin because he already is such a generic character that you could put him right over a character who's generic by design. And then he would fit perfectly. Just like Sans can be on top of the Mii Gunner and Cuphead can be on top of the Mii Gunner, you could easily put Steve on top of a Mii Sword Fighter.
I'm curious. Minecraft, I think, sold over 100 million copies, right?
Oh, it's one of the biggest games in the history of ever. There's no...
176 million copies.
Yeah, that game's massive. There's no taking that away from it. But is Steve a Smash character? I know a lot of people strongly want him to be. He makes top 10 list in Europe and United States for fan wanted characters. Just like you said, you're kind of not the demographic anymore. I've long since known I've been out of the loop because as you grow up and you enter the workforce, two things happen. One, you start to get more discretionary spending, which makes you a better consumer to target because you all of a sudden have money. When I was 10, I would have bought every single Nintendo game that ever came out, but I got maybe one or two games a year because I was 10 and I had no job. But then when you grow up, you have the money, but you don't have the time. So it becomes a little bit of a balancing act. And then when you become a parent, as we both are, you buy games that you would never buy, that you would never play because your kid wants it and your kid will play it. So as I evaluate the games that I have on my Switch, about 70% of them are probably games that I wanted, that I bought, that I was going to buy no matter what. And then another 30% are games that I'm almost ashamed to even have on the Switch. But I have a daughter and two young sons, and they play games that I would never play.
Yeah.
So that does influence the way that I spend my money, and it influences the way that I purchase games. And these are the things that I think companies like Nintendo are trying to balance, is who are they actually appealing to? Who are they actually selling these to? And with Smash, one of the interesting things about it is all those characters from our childhood, all those classic characters that are already in the game, part of the reason is because they were around during our childhood, but they're still contemporary. They're still modern-day characters. Like, Mario is just as much my daughter's as he is mine. And Donkey Kong, my son played Donkey Kong. He's been sick the last few days. He probably put in about 6 hours of Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze. And this is a nails-tough platformer. And this boy is cruising through it. I'm like, who are you? You're better at this game now than I am now. It's a delight as a father to see kids have shared interests with me. And it's even extra special because it's the exact same characters. I played Donkey Kong Country when I was a little boy, and he's playing Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, and the games are so similar. I feel like I'm in some ways reliving my childhood through his eyes.
I like that.
What other company can do that?
I totally agree. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so in love with Nintendo, and the fact that I'm thrilled my 7-year-old daughter cares about these things as much as I do. In some cases, even more with Goose Game. That's her favorite thing ever. But yeah, it's crazy to think about. I mean, I think it's because obviously Smash came out when I was, God, let's see, what, 98?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think I was 13 when Smash first came out. So the characters in it were my characters. So it's crazy to see. Like, the Fire Emblem characters, they're not my characters. I just don't care. It's one of the reasons why I have so much, respect for the Fire Emblem fans. And I'm thrilled that they're happy. Some of them, at least.
Yeah. Well, not to go too far back into this, Byleth. Well, because anyone who's a huge Byleth fan probably already wrote me off within the first 10 minutes of this episode. But I did play through Spirits Mode and unlocked all the Fire Emblem spirits.
And already? Dang!
Dude, that is my thing. That's what I do. I'm a spirit. I'm not great at Smash. In fact, I'm not even good at Smash. But what I do in Smash, I do well. And I like found the perfect recipe for just tearing through spirits. So I have, and I'm back to Hole again because they released the Deus Ex Machina. They re-released them with this update.
Oh, yeah.
So I had four spots glaring at me, empty, missing stuff. So now I got my several hundred plus spirits all back to good. But three of the spirits who are your, I guess, house leaders. This is coming from someone who did not play Fire Emblem Three Houses, but I know you have Claude, Dimitri, and Edelgard. They are all enhanceable. And the cool thing is, when you enhance them, it does the time jump that happens in the game where you have that 5 years that pass.
Sure.
So it actually was super cool. And I'm not going to lie that it kind of, with the swelling music of Fire Emblem, it pulled at me a little bit where I'm like, could I get into this game? I've never been able to play Fire Emblem. I have
I hope
interest
you do
in those kinds of games. But I want to play it. I want to like the game, and I want to be able to get into it.
Yeah.
Same with Dragon Quest XI, based on
it's
our
such
conversations
a massive
that we've
time
had.
Commitment.
That's the thing. I don't.
And that's unless it's an RPG that I'm excited about, like Final Fantasy VII Remake. I have 100 plus hours dedicated, set aside, pre-planned for that game. I can't do that for every RPG, even though I want to.
Yeah.
I have a backlog of amazing Nintendo Switch RPGs sitting on a shelf, many not even opened yet, that I just can't even come close to playing. Because I know if I start, I'm never going to finish.
Yeah.
And at this point, there's no point in me starting it and just letting it sit there. The same thing with Fire Emblem. It's not that I don't want to play it. I just can't. It's even with Pokemon. I got Pokemon Shield. I have just stopped playing halfway through the game. And that's Pokemon. I mean, yeah. I should be able to breeze through that game, but I don't have the time. And it's the same. I can't love Fire Emblem right now as much as I want to. I just can't. I love too many other things.
Yeah. I hate Byleth, by the way. The character plays horrible.
Oh, I'm glad we got that out there.
It's so slow. The moves don't really have any kind of continuity. It doesn't really make sense. I think it's probably the worst Fire Emblem character in the game. And my son was sitting there watching me play it as soon as I pulled it out. And the first match on Classic Mode is Marth versus Byleth. Yeah. And my son's cheering for me. And he's like, which one are you, Dad? And I pointed out which one I was. Battle didn't last too long.
Yeah.
I defeated Marth, and my son starts going, oh, sorry, Dad, you lost. And it's because they're the same, except Marth is actually good. So
salty.
I don't think I'm salty. I think I'm just let's just call it a casual Smash players observation.
It's fair enough. It really is.
The thing that I don't get, and I know this is just kind of beating a dead horse, is Byleth is my favorite of the five, but yet the worst.
Yeah.
Where Terry is probably, from a playing standpoint, the most fun.
Yeah.
Because he makes sense. His moves are good. But I don't know. Byleth just doesn't make any sense to me. It's
like super... I said, if the amiibo looks good, I'm happy.
Hopefully you get.
That's all I need.
Hopefully you get two. You know what? I really did not want to customize a female Robin, so I waited forever for Nintendo to make one. But I finally wound up doing it, and I'm really happy with it. But if they do not make a female Byleth, I'm not going to customize it because I just do not want to.
Yeah. Again, fair enough.
So you have started expanding your technical abilities a little bit here and got into some modding, huh?
Yes, we get to talk about this now. So one thing, and you might know this about me, I'm obsessed with handheld game systems. So back when I was a kid, Pokemon Red was my first like real venture on the Game Boy. Before I got a Game Boy, I had a Game Gear, which I know is kind of sacrilege, but that's fine. But the Game Boy Color was one of my favorite systems just ever. It was mine. It was personal. I could go anywhere I want and play it. I didn't have to wait for the TV to be like available for me to play. I could play it in the car. I could play it in a closet. I mean, anywhere I wanted.
Where there was an external light source.
Correct. That's accurate, which is kind of leads into this story too. So I'm kind of obsessed with the entire Game Boy line. It's one of the reasons why I like the Switch Lite so much, because it's more personal. It reminds me of that feeling I had when I picked up my Game Boy Color when I was a kid. But the original Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance, not the SP, had a fatal flaw, and that was they had no ability to be used unless you're A, in direct sunlight, or B, directly under a lamp. No backlights whatsoever. So a lot of kids got these like really crappy worm lights that you kind of clip into the side of the system. It would have this teeny tiny little light bulb on it. It was terrible, but it sort of did the trick.
Yeah.
Not really, but kind of.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had one of those things. They were terrible, but if you were trying to sneak and play the Game Boy in your bed after you got sent to bed, you needed to have something like that.
When we were kids, that was all we needed. Like, we never thought twice about how crappy this light was. It was still fun.
Yeah.
And I think as an adult, I am just much more cynical about everything. But I still love playing the Game Boy. But the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance, no backlit screen. Over the past few years, a bunch of very, very talented modders and manufacturers have come out with gorgeous IPS backlit replacement screens for both the Game Boy Advance and the Game Boy Color. So the Game Boy Advance I've been modding now for over a year, so I've done three so far. I made one for me, I made one for Happily Candied, which is in the color scheme of the Super Nintendo, which I think is gorgeous.
Awesome.
So my system actually takes a backlit screen from a Game Boy Advance SP, and you kind of just transplant it into a standard Game Boy Advance. You have to cut the shell. There's a lot of modification and soldering, but once you do it, it's gorgeous and it works forever. Happily Candied's Lauren's has this brand new gorgeous IPS screen that has 4 times the pixels as the original Game Boy Advance, and it fits perfectly. It's gorgeous. So that one's set up on hers.
So when it increases the pixel count like that, does it actually increase the resolution of the games that you're playing? Do they look better?
I don't think it necessarily looks better, since it's like it's a perfect 4 times scale. So it's pixel perfect. Awesome. So in my opinion, it looks crisper to a certain degree. I think it looks better than mine. And I'm very, very jealous that she has it and I don't. But just yesterday, I finally did my very first Game Boy Color, which is right here for TJ to see.
Oh, man.
With a backlight. And I'm absolutely in love with it.
That's the atomic purple that like
no this one's black, so this one's just it's clear.
I've got a little color cast coming through on the video monitor there. So
yeah, this one is the atomic purple, which
that one looks black. Oh, that's funny.
But I'm getting really, really into it. There are some insane people in the community for modding these things that have worked tirelessly to do this, and there's not a giant market for it. I mean, there's not a lot of people that want to spend the time modifying this stuff, but you would not think that with some of the products that are out there for you to buy. It's cool stuff. And if you're a fan of any of that stuff, I highly recommend you check out Ben Ben. You can find him on Facebook. He has a Facebook shop. He was one of the first people to come up with a drop-in screen for the Game Boy Color. Retromodding.com is also fantastic. They have a lot of Game Boy Advance stuff. But if you want to kind of dip your toe into the modding scene, you could start with the Game Boy Color and do it super easily. So if you're curious about it, I have a video coming up, I'd say in the next week or two, of me putting together one from scratch.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to see that. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. I think it's one of the reasons why I learned how to do some wiring and soldering that I've never done before. And you really learn some cool things. And there's YouTube tutorials for all of this stuff out there, too.
There are certain skill sets that I just have to accept I do not possess. And that is one of them. I'll customize figures all day long. But once it starts getting to that degree of technicality, like you got to do wires here and solder this there, I am out.
Would be so good at it.
I would be horrible.
So for the Game Boy, I mean, everything on the circuit board is numbered and lettered. You're not going to mess it up if you have a steady hand, and you have a steady hand. I've seen the things you've created.
Somebody like I have the physical ability, but I don't have the mental capacity. Like, I'm a dumb, Jason. So I would need
that
somebody
is
to be
such BS.
Someone would need to be standing over my shoulder and say, "See that?
That's
thing
what
right
YouTube
there?
Is
Put
for.
It right there."
You watch a YouTube video of a guy doing it, and then you do it.
Yeah, I guess. But
it's
even
super
then,
easy.
I'm still super insecure about. Wait, does this part match that part? Am I looking at the right thing that he's looking at? Did you see Shank Mod's Joy-Con GameCube controllers?
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Oh, man. I cannot believe that. I want that product so bad. I have a feeling like if Nintendo did make those, they wouldn't even be as good as this guy's. He had such an incredible attention to preserving the authenticity of how the GameCube controller feels that I need them. Part of the reason I cannot play Smash in portable mode is I cannot play it with the Joy-Cons. It is an unacceptable substitute for the GameCube controller. And there's a reason why I think Nintendo keeps creating GameCube support for Smash is they understand that the game was designed to really play well on this controller. Obviously, it was developed with the 64 controller, but it was optimized on the GameCube controller, and they have not managed to create a better controller since.
So I agree.
Joy-Cons are great if you're playing Ring Fit Adventure, but if you're trying to do some yeah. Smash, you got to have a GameCube controller. So I feel like this is an untapped area of Nintendo products that it's awesome that there are enough people out there who are interested in it, where people who want to take the initiative and make it themselves, like you, can do that.
I think you and I have discussed this before in the past, too, that it kind of blows my mind that Nintendo made this interchangeable controller system for the Switch, but never used it.
Isn't that strange? So weird.
Even the color schemes that they've come out with, I feel like have stopped. I initially imagined when we first saw the Joy-Con, I thought for every major game, we'd be getting a specific Joy-Con for it. Like a gold one for Zelda, and like with really cool designs and logos, and like a GameCube style one. I'm kind of surprised that we just never saw that.
I know. I hate on the Joy-Con more than anybody I know. I think it's Nintendo's most inferior controller, and yet I have 8 of them.
Yeah.
So now some of that's because I have kids. I'm not coming at it from a collector's angle. I want to be able to pass them off to these guys. But from a quality standpoint and a comfort standpoint, it is inferior to any other controller Nintendo has ever made. So why can we not get a few more official Nintendo branded alternatives to what that is? Why can't we just slap some other things on there? I know it would sell. If they wanted to do a pro controller that was a Joy-Con, I think that people would buy that.
Like, I think
just,
so too.
Just slap that thing on the sides and you have a little bit more of an ergonomical grip. You can play for better. I won't touch my Switch in portable mode unless I slide on some third-party skeleton, some exoskeleton to make it.
Have you seen the Deus Ex Machina? Is that what it's called? I never can get that game right. The Ex Machina, whatever that game is.
Yeah.
Daemon X Machina. That's it.
We found it.
They came out with something very similar, where there are these big, bulky pro controller style Joy-Con.
Oh,
so maybe that would be a good fit for you.
I think that's worth looking into. That's I don't play as much as handheld as I used to, but if I'm gonna play it handheld, I want to be able to actually grab something without my hands be cramping. I'm not some big dude. I have like relatively normal sized hands, but still, I can't seem to find a comfortable way to play it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said before, with the Game Boys themselves, if you're curious about it, there's a big community of people out there. I don't have a lot more to say on the topic. It's a fun project. I think because I report on video game stuff all day, it's nice to have something that's kind of just mine and that's still retro and Nintendo. It's one of the reasons why I did the Nintendo 64 collection. It was my thing and I didn't have to share it with anybody, even though I was taking pictures and putting it on Twitter. The same thing with this, I guess, but I don't have to do it for work and that makes me happy.
Right, because now since Nintendo is also your job, there's certain aspects of it where you have an obligation to report on certain things. So you're taking your passion and you're turning that passion into work, which is great. But it's nice also for there to be certain things that you can just do because you enjoy it.
Yeah, agreed. What else do we got tonight?
Did you see that latest trailer for Super Nintendo World in Japan?
With that K-poppy, J-poppy type thing?
You know, I don't remember the music at all because all I took away from that was how achievable is the experience that they're presenting in this commercial? Because throughout the whole thing, people are interacting with 3D rendered objects in the space. Yeah. I'm like, what message are they trying to send? Because this cannot possibly be.
It does. So
there's no way it could look as cool and as real as that commercial, though.
So they did show a few things. So there was a press conference right before that came out. And at the park, you get a wristband. And the wristband is like RFID or something. It hooks up to your phone. The wristband connects to your phone. You get points for doing certain things in the park. Part of the park is completely interactive. So I've seen they had these question mark blocks where you could actually punch, which I'm kind of curious how they're going to do that with kids. Like, do you punch the block? Is it going to break? Are you going to break your hand? Is it made out of foam? So I'm curious to see how that's going to work.
Does it exist at all? Like, do you need to be wearing special goggles? Is this AR technology? But
they showed somebody doing it, like, okay, at the press conference.
Okay.
So I imagine that there's going to be some level of interactivity right there. But to what extent, I guess, I don't know. I mean, the park opens in spring in very, very little time.
Yeah.
And we haven't really seen any of the rides. Like, well, we know there's a Mario Kart ride and a Yoshi ride.
And a Donkey Kong
roller coaster.
Minecart roller coaster.
Which is great.
I am super excited. My whole family's going. We're in Taiwan now, so we're only two hours from Japan. And I think we're going to probably go in October because we want to get past all of the Olympic rush. And I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast before, but I did used to work at Universal in Hollywood. And when Harry Potter opened there, it was not an instantaneous, like, grand opening. It was kind of a slow process where once enough of it was up where people could come in and see it, they opened up the park so that people could go and enjoy what was done while they continued to do construction on the rest of it. I would rather not be there on day one and fight the crowds for all the people who are trying to get in there. I'm going to take my kids out of school because I'm that kind of dad. And we're going to go there during a time that's maybe less traffic so that we can do everything as many times as we want, see everything. And hopefully by putting it closer to the end of the year, it gives them a little bit of extra time to finish up anything that might still be under construction.
Yeah.
And after that, I think that I'm going to try to get to Singapore. I have no idea when that one's going to open. And then, of course, I got to go to Hollywood and I got to go to Orlando probably last because it'll probably be done last because it'll probably be the biggest and the best because it's the only one that's not strapped for space.
Yeah.
If you're going to build something in Japan or – I'm not super sure about Singapore, but this might be true too. It's definitely true in Los Angeles. If you're going to build something, something else has to come down.
Yeah.
So you just really confined space.
I mean, Harry Potter in Hollywood compared to Orlando, nothing even close.
Right. They had to take out a completely – like two other attractions in Hollywood to even get the space to put Harry Potter in.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. You just kind of revolve out things as they become less popular. But Harry Potter is one of those staples that's going to be a big deal for a long time, you imagine. And Nintendo's going to be that same thing. So it's worth the investment. They did start – this was announced while I still worked at Universal. So they were putting up signs. Hey, guess what? Nintendo and Pokemon are coming to the park. You might see some construction soon. No construction occurred during my time there. But it did make me wonder as I was walking through this park, where are they going to put this? Like, what are they going to take out the Gibson Amphitheater? Like, there's no real estate. So they have to figure out where they're going to move that. And are they going to creep onto Universal's? What is unique about Universal Studios in Los Angeles is it is an actual working movie studio. It is Universal Studios. They shoot their shows there. They have television shows and business offices and all that kind of stuff. Are they going to take over some sound stages maybe? Is it worth it to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm curious about that, and I'm really curious to see how much of what they presented in that commercial can be realized in an actual experience.
I'm optimistic. I mean, obviously it was a not dramatized, but it was a very highly polished advertisement for a park. I was disappointed with it, to be honest. I thought it was a catchy song, I guess, but it was like a CG movie.
Yeah, it was.
I had no idea what to really expect from the experience.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to see what the Yoshi minecarts look like, or whatever the little Yoshi things are going to look like.
Yeah, I guess a Yoshi. It's a family ride, I suppose. That's the rumor.
I want to see that more at this point than I care about a CGI Mario dancing with a bunch of tourists.
Right.
But that's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you there too. I'm not really a theme park kind of guy because I don't really love waiting in lines. No, in fact, I hate waiting in lines. It's kind of like time is so precious, and you can, no matter how successful you are, talented you are, rich you are, you cannot buy, earn, create another second. So I feel like it's very disrespectful to this gift of life that I was given to spend it standing in a line for 4 hours. That's just not really my kind of thing. So I find workarounds. You go at lower traffic times where maybe there's less people. That's fine. But sure. I love Nintendo. And actually, I'm not really a roller coaster guy either because I'm like crippling motion sickness.
Yeah.
But
which is weird you seem like a guy that can handle anything.
It's all a facade, my friend. It's all an illusion.
All right.
But I'm going to suffer for these Nintendo rides because I want to go on them that bad.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be there with an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So I don't know exactly how much of that stuff they're going to be able to do from a ride standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm sure my 8-year-old will probably be okay, and probably my 6-year-old. But I don't know if my 4-year-old's going to be tall enough for, say, the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Sounds like Yoshi might be an experience for the whole family, but who knows? And this Mario Kart thing, I'm sure anybody could do. Maybe not, though, because they might have age restrictions based on vision.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I did go on that Simpsons ride in Hollywood, and I was sick for 3 straight days.
Yeah, I can't do that one. There's certain things I can't do. Anything that's 3D and motion, like combined.
Which is what Mario Kart, I think, is going to be.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I think it is. Now, this is my speculation based on...
I thought it was an actual track. Like, I could have sworn that I saw a patent for it.
The patents were leaked, but unless I'm confusing it, I think the Mario Kart one is like a 3D screen. Maybe it's a little bit like Harry Potter, the Harry Potter roller coaster where you have screens.
I can't do that one either.
Yeah, that one's brutal. We're not theme park people, but we are Nintendo people. And so whatever it takes to be able to go there and experience as much of it as possible is what I'm determined to do, just because I think that something about being in Peach's Castle or at the threshold of Bowser's Castle in real life is a super awesome experience, and I want to be able to share that with my kids.
So the patent is called, let's see, Universal Files Ride Technology Patent for Nintendo Ride Attractions. They said that it has something called Speed Simulation Effect, which details technology that makes riders feel like they're moving fast, even if the vehicle slows down. The patent describes a vehicle ride system with speed simulation effects. It incorporates aspects of both path-based and simulation-based ride environments. So it looks like it's a weird hybrid.
That is interesting.
Which means I am going to vomit.
Me too.
Very badly. But I'm going to go on prepared. It anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to go to that park fasted. I will have no food in my stomach, and I'll get through the day.
I'll do that one last. I'll do that one last.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because then that way... Are you going to go opening year?
You know, I'd like to. Unless Nintendo was sending press there, I probably won't. If they're going to have like some sort of press day and I need to fly myself out there, I would do that.
Dude, if they're having a press day, let me know, because I would way rather go on a press day.
So if for any reason like I can't make it and they're doing a press day, you can be the Nintendo Wire representative.
I'm 2 hours away.
But I doubt that's going to happen. But you never know. I'd like to go. But my thought process is it's a huge time and money commitment, so I'm guessing it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and if you're coming from the States, it's more of a money commitment because just the flights alone are a few thousand dollars. So.
Yeah, what, it's like 15 hours one way?
Yeah, probably. To get to Taiwan from Illinois took me 16 hours, and Taiwan's, I don't actually know geographically if it's closer.
Yeah.
Because the flight paths aren't always direct. Sometimes they to catch air currents, they take a curve. So I'm not sure.
It's been about 10 years since I've been in Tokyo. I loved it. I went right after the tsunami, so the power was out for most of the city. So I definitely didn't experience Tokyo like I wanted to. So I'd like to go back for sure.
Awesome, one day, man.
One day.
I think we should probably wrap this up. I know it's getting late for you.
And, for sure.
I got some more Smash to play. I haven't seen everything that Byleth has to offer.
Rock and roll. TJ, where can we find more info on you?
You want to check out some videos by me? You can do it on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel, including one where I lay down my wish list for who I want to see for the next six fighters in Smash, and I also give my predictions for who I think is most likely. And if you do check it out, be sure to leave a comment in the comment section letting me know what your picks are, because that is honestly the most fun thing to me about it. And if you want to keep up with me on Twitter, you can find me at Custom Conquest.
Awesome. I have a new video coming out on our YouTube channel. I think it's going to be, this is going to come out Wednesday morning, so sometime Wednesday night, where we unbox the gorgeous Breath of the Wild Zelda figure from First for Figures. So stay tuned for that. Ooh. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at AmiiboJason and over at NinWire and NintendoWire.com. But yeah, that's it for me. TJ, any closing remarks?
No, that does it for me too, man.
Nice. All right, guys. You. I'll see you next time. Until then, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.